Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. Two for one, no concern for the future. Living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sangai Nation, welcome to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Some show notes really quickly before we jump into things. If you're looking for pro wrestling tonight, WCWO, like usual, at the Outlaw Arena at 1151 South Kentucky Avenue in Indianapolis, Indiana. RCCW in Richmond, Indiana. PWG in Reseda, California. RCW in Chatsworth, Georgia. NWA in Franklin, Kentucky. Pro Wrestling All-Stars in Melvindale, Michigan. And VIP Wrestling in Dallas, Texas. Tomorrow night, GCW in Pell City, Alabama. Championship Wrestling Arizona in Tucson, Arizona. ECCW in Port Coquitlam, British Columbia. KPW in Sun Valley, California. UEW in Los Angeles, California. FTW in Spencer, Indiana. Pro Wrestling Beyond in Joliet, Illinois. WWA in Owensboro, Kentucky. Freak Show Wrestling in Las Vegas, Nevada. EWO in Little Egg Harbor, New Jersey. EWA in High Point, North Carolina. CPW in Tulsa, Oklahoma. EWF in New Eagle, Pennsylvania. Lucha Libre Volcanica in Seattle, Washington. And Northwest Pro also in our neck of the woods in Vaughan, Washington tomorrow. And without further ado, I believe our guest has joined us here as we continue on for Pacific Northwest Month on the program. Aries Toretto, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure to have you. Thank you very much for taking the time on a Friday to join us. And since, incredibly, this is your first time with us, you get the first-timer's question. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
I've always been a fan. I've lifelong fan, just like every other wrestler that you've ever met. I actually got into wrestling kind of through comic books. I always saw it as a real-life comic book. And I've always been a big comic book fan, and that's what really attracted me to wrestling in the first place. I got into amateur wrestling in middle school and high school, and that kind of opened the door for me getting into training with NWA Wisconsin out of Green Bay, and that's how I started in the sport of professional wrestling.
And when you got into professional wrestling, had you had some sort of athletic background to prepare you for the actual training of wrestling, or did you go into it not really a traditional athlete per se?
Oh, no, I've always been an athlete. I played hockey when I was in grade school, football, baseball. My forte was actually amateur wrestling. And that was a big one-up for me, especially when I first started training, just having that amateur background.
Now, up here in our neck of the woods, at NWA Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland, you have been associated with a faction called the Role Models since the very beginning of it. It's had its ups and downs, its members that have come and gone and come again. Could you give the listeners a bit of a time frame on the Role Models and what you saw when you formed that faction?
Absolutely. Role Models actually started as a team of me and Kane Jaden back in 2014. I was in a feud with a team called Mob Inc. at the time, which consisted of Kane's father, DeMarcus, and his uncle, CJ. And Kane had turned on them to join me, and that was the beginning of the role models in late 2014. And we had a feud with Mob Inc. for the better part of a year after that. And shortly after that, it would be Tyson Lee joining up and making us a trio. And then we kind of run roughshod through BCW for a few months, and before we end up parting ways with BCW for the summer of 2015. And when we came back, the team consisted of me and Tyson Lee again. Kane Jaden had ventured off on his own, and then we brought in another third member, a man named Tectonic. And me, Tectonic, and Tyson Lee kind of picked up the ball where me and Kane Jaden and Tyson had left off, or pretty much dominating the tag team scene in BCW. And then the two big guys, Tyson Lee and Tectonic, decided to turn on me and said that I was dead weight. And Kane Jaden came out and made the save, and now me and him are continuing the role model tradition.
Now, obviously, you're a pretty well-known tag team wrestler in the role models and various other teams throughout your career, but you've also had quite a bit of experience as a singles competitor. Do you have a personal preference as far as tags versus singles?
I don't really have a preference. I mean, it's like comparing apples to oranges. They both have their upsides and they both have their downsides. At the stage I'm at right now, I'm having a lot of fun teaming up with Kane Jaden all over the Northwest. We've captured the NWWA Tag Team Championships. We've captured the NWA Pacific Northwest Tag Team Championships. We just won a tag match, really good tag match up in Inland Pro Wrestling a couple weeks ago. We've been the SCW Tag Team Championships. I've had a lot of fun. We're traveling. We're having a lot of really good matches all over the Northwest right now with a lot of different competitors.
I mentioned a team with Kane Jaden, and despite the fact that he's got roughly 4 years of experience, he is still not out of high school yet. Very young man who has made great strides in his career. You mentioned Tectonic, you mentioned Tyson Lee, both of those very young in their careers yet, and you have seen a lot of newer talent in the last few years, both up in this region of the country and in the Midwest. Who are some of the younger talents out there that fans and promoters should know about and support more?
Well, obviously you mentioned, you know, Kane Jaden and Tyson Lee and Tectonic. As far as Midwest goes, a couple up-and-comers that really caught my eye are a couple guys called the Dojo Boys, really good young tag team. There's a man named Jordy Lee in the Midwest who's really been making a name for himself all throughout Wisconsin. As far as in this region, I would say a really good young tag team that we actually wrestled up in Inland Pro Wrestling was a gentleman named hello?
Yeah, you're with us.
Okay, sorry, you're breaking up for a second there. Yeah, there is a lot of good young talent around the area that promoters should be paying attention to and should be trying to get on their cards, because you always need those young workhorses. Those are the guys that are going to consistently put in good matches and put in the effort week after week after week and show after show.
Now, the talent out here, of course, a lot of the guys are out of the old Portland wrestling era. A lot of them broke in with Sandy Barr, who was a Don Owen guy. Some of them date back to Don Owen himself. You've been in this region, and you've been in the Midwest, which was a strong region for the AWA and for Dick the Bruiser's WWA. In my travels, I've always seen that fans tend to gravitate towards the style that the territory. days consisted of in a particular region, have you noticed a difference in what the fans like and don't like going from the Midwest to the Pacific Northwest?
Oh, absolutely. It's a totally different atmosphere. But it's not even just a region thing, to me. Because I can go and have a show in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and it'd be a completely different atmosphere than a show in Chicago, Illinois, even though they're only an hour and a half apart. Same thing with Portland and Seattle in this region. I mean, you'll have different shows that offer different things, and the fans are going to gravitate towards the shows that they enjoy. That's the beauty of wrestling. There's something for everyone.
Absolutely true, I think. Now, being a regular in NWA Blue Collar Wrestling, you may have noticed in the past year, a lot of members of the Ring of Honor roster have made their way to NWA Blue Collar to ply their trade. You've had Kevin Sullivan, his son BJ Whitmer, Kelly Klein, Jason Kincaid, Will Huckabee did a few shots for Ring of Honor, and he was up in Portland. A lot of Ring of Honor guys coming through the company. What do you think of the Ring of Honor NWA Blue Collar connection, and do you enjoy seeing the Ring of Honor guys show up whenever they do in Portland?
Oh, I absolutely love seeing them show up. I mean, it's great for everyone involved. As far as Ring of Honor, like the Ring of Honor style, the faster paced, harder hitting, I love that style. That's the style that I grew up watching, and that's the style that I grew up kind of involved in when I first started into this. You gotta remember when I was coming up in Green Bay, you had guys like Austin Aries and CM Punk and Ken Anderson that were kind of the top guys in the area at the time. And they wrestled that kind of style, and everybody kind of followed suit. That's what the fans in that area love to see. And when I first came out to the Pacific Northwest, to me especially, that's what was kind of missing out here. I mean, you have the old school connection, and it's great that they have a connection with the history. But you also want to offer different things. And I think that's what was kind of missing out here. And having those guys show up at NWA Blue Collar it's been great. It's been a spark that's ignited a lot of other people to tune into that style. Crowds may not have known that, they're not familiar with it. It's a newer generation. It's a faster pace, and it's kind of a recent phenomenon. And it's great that you have people that aren't familiar with that style that have that the option and the opportunity to see that style live.
Absolutely. I have also enjoyed Ring of Honor for quite a long time. It's great to see some of those guys and girls up here. You personally wrestled someone that is on the current Ring of Honor roster. You were involved in a six-man match with Kevin Sullivan in the new Dungeon of Doom. What was it like for you getting into the ring with someone that has been so legendary in professional wrestling?
Oh, it was an honor, absolutely. I mean, Kevin Sullivan he's an icon in this industry. He's been everywhere and he's done everything. And to be involved in his first match ever in Oregon, and that was, it's mind-boggling to me that he's been in the business as long as he has, done so much, and has never had a professional match in Oregon. And to be part of that, it was an absolute honor. It's something that I'll never forget.
And when you're in there with someone that has that much experience and has a style that is almost completely different from what you're accustomed to wrestling, what's the mindset going into a match like that?
Well, no matter what kind of style you're going up against, you can game plan all you want, but
everybody has a game plan until they get punched in the mouth. And then you fall back on what brought you to the game. And my kicks, my speed, my high flying, that's what I've made my name doing. So regardless if I'm in there with a guy that's 5'8" or a guy that's 6'8", that's my style. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to stick with, because that's what I know has brought me success in the past. You adapt a little bit, but you don't want to change your whole game around to try to match your opponent.
Well, we have a game on this show that we like to play called Word Association, a little bit of a psychological game where I'll throw out the names of some people that more than likely you have come across in your career, and the first word or two that comes to mind is the answer. Are you prepared for a round of word association?
Absolutely. Love it.
Here we go. Kane Jaden.
The future.
Iron Man.
Regional legend.
Austin Aries.
Inspiration.
Lone Star.
Hell of a worker.
Ear City Bruiser.
Trainer. I owe
Scarlet.
Everything to him. Love my life.
Tectonic.
Hard hitting.
Frankie DeFalco.
Mentor.
Casey Carlisle.
Wonderful person.
Kevin Sullivan.
Legend.
The Darkness.
Sorry, you're breaking up on that one.
Darkness.
Darkness?
Yeah.
Oh, I wish him a speedy recovery.
Final one, Petrov.
Oh, that's a good one. Workhorse.
At this point in the show, my co-host QT is standing by, and I know that QT has a plethora of questions, so Thez, help you as I pass things along to QT.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Aries.
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. Aries, we usually start out the second half of our show with a newly adopted standard question. What's the hardest knife edge chop you have received in your career? I'm going to ask that, but narrow it down to, what's the hardest knife edge chop you've received at Blue Collar Wrestling?
At Blue Collar Wrestling, that is undoubtedly Dave Havoc, Hellenbeck.
Oh, wow, okay. Did it take your breath away once he did hit that knife edge chop for the first time?
Oh, it absolutely did. I feel like my soul left my body.
You kind of felt the soul leave your body? Wow, that's...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Hardest single chop was definitely from him.
Oh, all right. Would you say that Sunny Days could knife edge chop half that hard? Because I think she has that
absolutely.
Potential. Oh, wow.
Absolutely.
Okay.
That little girl can swing. Don't let her fool you.
Wow, all right. Okay, very good. Now, speaking of Sunny Days, on the Turnbuckle Turmoil Northwest Wrestler Rankings 9 7/8, Sunny Days has had a streak of being ranked number 2 for 3 weeks in a row. In your opinion, will she ever get that coveted number 1 ranking and thus the fruit pie that is awarded to our Turnbuckle Turmoil number 1 ranked wrestlers like you once were?
I think she definitely has the potential. She has been everywhere in this region and captured every women's title in the region. And I think she's just missing that right opponent.
Wow, okay, right opponent, all right. If she did meet that right opponent and secure that victory, do you believe that QT Votes should rank her at number one?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, okay.
Women's wrestling is very underrated. It's similar to tag team wrestling in that aspect. Like I had told Sun Guy earlier, that one of the beautiful things about wrestling is how it offers something for everyone. And me personally, I have a daughter, and she's 10 years old, and she loves women's wrestling. That is what turned her on to wrestling. And it's continued to keep her attention, and it's great that she has role models like Sonya that she can look up to.
Yes, I have often seen and heard her cheering you on at blue collar wrestling events. It's safe to say that security keeps a wary eye on her. Yes.
Oh, there's a lot of guys in the back that keep a leery eye on her too.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Aries, I saw your YouTube video entitled NWA Blue Collar Wrestling Aries Toretto versus Kenny Kay, 12-4-16. And although I wasn't there, I have been to several of your matches, and that may be one of the loudest that the fans have ever cheered for you. What do you attribute to this growing appreciative fan base?
I feel like I'm finally being appreciated. My personal attitude has changed because of it. When I first came here, I kind of had a chip on my shoulder, and I come from the Midwest, and I had a lot of success out there, and it had given me kind of a big ego when I first started out here. I think the fans saw that, turned them off to me. They appreciated what I did in the ring, but not me personally. And once I started getting those little bit of cheers, it changed my attitude. It opened me up to them, and I think they were reciprocating that back.
Yes, when I first saw you at Blue Collar Wrestling, you indeed had some influence, or I think subliminally, you had an influence and attitude of Mr. Kennedy. The only thing that was missing was the mic coming down at the start of your matches. Yes.
Ken has had a big influence on my career. He's one of the first main event caliber guys that kind of took me under his wing when I first started. And I've always kind of looked up to him and the success that he's had, where he's come from, because he main evented one of the first shows I was ever on. I watched him do a swanton off a 20-foot cage, and I think I was maybe 2 months into the business at that point. It was incredible. It was one of those moments where something just clicked, and I want to be where that guy is. I want to do what he does.
Wow, okay, all right. In the following week, did you go out and immediately start trying to improve your cardio once you had seen this, your cardio?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, cardio has been, it's been a big thing for me since day one. And coming from the amateur wrestling background, where I was training 3 hours a day, every day, 7 days a week. And it transitioned really easy for me into the sport of pro wrestling.
And speaking of which, your wrestling in your amateur career, did you start out at the junior high level?
Actually, before that, I was wrestling. I started wrestling collegiate style when I was about 10 years old.
Oh, wow. Did you win a tournament?
I did. I actually had great success. I went to state championships a couple times in high school. I won quite a few amateur tournaments. Middle school, high school range. I was actually, my introduction to amateur wrestling was actually through my older brother. He was a state champion. And I actually went to a camp kind of on a whim, and it was run by his former coach. And it was a Dennis Hall gold medal training camp. For those that don't know, Dennis Hall was a Olympic champion, silver medalist, I believe, and going to that camp, it kind of opened my eyes to amateur wrestling. I didn't really have any experience with that. I came to it as a fan of pro wrestling and got there, and it was kind of a shell shock when I didn't see a ring with ropes and just mats on the floor, but I fell in love with it and stuck with it for about 7 years.
When you went to those camps, did you have a chance to meet Olympians Kenny Smith or Cale Sanderson?
Cale Sanderson was actually at a tournament. I didn't get to meet him personally. He did a little seminar prior to the tournament career, but I didn't get to meet him personally, but there have been quite a few Olympians that I have met. And actually, when I went to state championships in 2002, the guy that beat me went on to become a alternate for the 2004 Olympics.
Oh, wow. And what weight was that at?
I went to state the first year at 135. The second year was at 145.
Oh, okay. All right, 145, they moved up. Was that your weight as a senior in high school, 145?
That was pretty much consistent weight through high school. Ranged from like 135 to 145. Our high school team was pretty stacked at that weight, so there's quite a few tournaments I actually ended up wrestling up to 152 or 160.
Oh, okay. All right. At that time, were there many girls going out for high school wrestling? Did you have any girls on your team?
There was two on my team personally. I know there was one or two on the rival high schools around the area. I never had to wrestle any of them, but yeah, I did train with two females on our wrestling team.
Well, all right. Okay. Well, in your match with Kenny Kay that I researched on YouTube, I noticed that the referee did check your white fur leg warmers as part of the pre-match pat-down for foreign objects. However, it seemed he did so in a hurry. My question is, are there any truth to the rumors that DeMarcus James once asked you to hide a Tiger's Milk energy bar in your leg warmer so Big B wouldn't take it from your locker?
That is a true story, actually.
Aha, I knew it. See, sign? Yes, very true to the, okay, Tiger's Milk in your leg warmer. Very good. All right.
There's actually been quite a few things hidden in the fuzzy boots. There's been leg warmers, there's been tape, there's been energy bars, there's been gum, it's been a running theme.
Wow, okay, all right. Well, Aries, the bell rang to start the match at the 2:28 mark of the match, and 3 seconds later, Kenny Kay had shot a duck under takedown move on you and had taken you to the mat. He then proceeded to roll you up and get the 2.5 count on you to nearly seal the victory. In hindsight, had Kenny Kay sealed the 7 seconds from bell to fall win, would you have quit blue-collar wrestling, your job, and your guitar lessons, and taken up living in a van down by the Wishita River in Aberdeen, Washington?
I love how specific that question is. I would have contemplated it. It would have been a very hard night, and it would have been a very deep personal journey that night to decide where I wanted to go to next. But in the end, I think I would have decided I'm not a quitter. I'm not going to leave because of a loss. It's going to motivate me to get better. And I would have came back stronger and faster.
I don't think anyone has been pinned in 7 seconds from the opening bell in blue collar wrestling.
He had me by surprise there. I've never wrestled Kenny Kay prior to that, and I might have underestimated him at first. But with that one move, I snapped out of it, and I put my head in the game. We had a hell of a match that night.
That's true. I've never seen such a series of arm drag takedowns in rapid succession from each opponent.
I will give credit where credit is due, and Kenny Kay matched me move for move that night. And I think the match would have gone another 5 or 10 minutes had Tectonic Matt come out and interfered.
Yes. Okay, I think most fans would agree. Well, Aries, You hit Kenny Kay with four straight right hands to the stomach in a four-second span from the 531 to 534 second mark, and each punch is pretty much exactly 1 second apart. I encourage anyone listening to look at this four-second sequence with each punch coming at one-second intervals. You then bounced off the ropes, but he caught you with a knee lift to the stomach. My question is, were you surprised at his ability to take your right-handed body shots? Do you know of any advanced Pilates classes he was taking at Multnomah Community College?
I was surprised, honestly. He caught me off guard a couple times in that match, and that was one of those situations. I hit him with those four rights, and when I came off that rope, I fully expected to run through him like a train, and he had already recovered and countered on me. And that knee caught me right in the stomach and knocked the wind out of me.
Yes. Wow, okay.
It really caught me off guard and quick he actually is. That honestly surprised me. Not only his physical quickness, but the quickness that he could recover from things.
Yes, each of those punches were exactly 1 second apart. I did in-depth video analysis of that. Yes. All right. Well, Aris, you said you were a fan of comic books. How old would you say is the oldest comic book in your collection?
In my collection, personally, I believe my oldest one is from 1982.
Oh, wow. 1982. All right. Okay. Did you know that Gene Simmons, the bass player for Kiss, was an avid collector of comic books when he was a kid? And do you know that in 1977, all four members of Kiss met Marvel Comics creator Stan Lee, and they agreed to do a series of Kiss comic books? Did you know this?
I did not know that, but I am going to try to find those comic books now.
Yes, yes, you can do it might be on Wikipedia or maybe a Gene Simmons interview, but all four members, Paul Stanley, Gene, Peter Criss, and Ace Frehley, had their fingertips pricked and all contributed a small amount of their blood to the red ink in the original printings of the Kiss comic books.
That obviously makes them collector's issues then.
Oh, yes. Well, and that begs the question, who in blue-collar wrestling would you like to form a BCW fanzine with? Kind of like a Teen Beat magazine. Would it be Paul Moonshine, Buddy Highway, and Gregor Petrov?
Paul Moonshine is definitely the Professor X of blue-collar wrestling.
No, okay, I'm going to put down you'd like to form a fanzine with him. Okay, how about Buddy Highway?
Buddy Highway is our resident Incredible Hulk. I would always be willing to team up with him because you can't lose if you have a Hulk on your team.
All right, now he's lost some weight there and he's into strongman competitions now. Very, very interesting. Yes.
Yes, Buddy Highway is doing wonderful for himself and he's making a great change and it's definitely showing, not only appearance-wise, but in the ring. He's faster, he's stronger than he's ever been, and I see nothing but upside for him.
And so would you also agree that Gregor Petrov could grace the cover of these BCW Teen Beat magazines with you, Gregor Petrov?
Ah, Gregor Petrov on a Teen Beat magazine. I don't know if he has the face for it.
No, okay.
Maybe put on a mask, like a Justin Timberlake mask.
Put a mask on Gregor. Okay, all right. All right, well, Aaron, how far are the Packers going to go in the playoffs?
Oh, I hope not very far. I'm a Bears fan.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was born and raised in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and I'm the only Bears fan in my family.
Oh, wow.
But the way I looked
right.
at it, I live 2 hours from Green Bay and an hour and a half from Chicago, so Chicago is my hometown. That was my home team.
Well, okay. All right. Well, Aries, is it safe to say that stalwart, meaning always there and awake, blue-collar wrestling fan Marion is indeed your biggest fan?
I'd say she's definitely up there. She's definitely in the contention. I think my daughter might have something to say about that, but...
All right. Okay. It's rumored that when you first met Marion that you two didn't see eye to eye.
That is true. But that's true for most of the fans at Blue Collar Wrestling. I rubbed a lot of people the wrong way for the first couple of years.
She stole my wig and stuffed it down her pants. Did you hear about that?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, okay.
She did the same thing with a Bruce City wrestling shirt. That's been near and dear to me since 2005.
Wow, all right. Did you get their shirt back? That's the main question.
I did, and I've washed it about a dozen times, but I still have not worn it again.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, Aries, is the chicken fried steak one of your favorite meals at Blue Collar Wrestling?
I'm actually partial to the teriyaki meatballs. Those are quality.
Oh, all right.
It's a great source of protein to get me started for a match.
All right. And speaking of which, now Sign Guy and myself have gone over with Buddy Highway and have had a mini contest in guessing what he eats for breakfast. Can you take us through a typical breakfast of yours?
Typical breakfast of mine?
Yes.
My breakfast usually consists of 2 to 3 eggs, a couple greens, and a big mug of coffee.
Oh, wow. All right. Okay. Any turkey sausage in there, like Buddy Highway eats turkey sausage?
I usually reserve that for weekends when I make big breakfasts, but yeah.
Oh,
definitely with the turkey sauces. Turkey sausage, some eggs, and some wheat cakes on the weekend.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Aries, BCW referee T-Rex has stated that he is thinking of getting started into a stand-up comedy routine, kind of like a mini career. And indeed, Portland is a hotbed of opportunity with clubs catering to want-to-be comedians who want to try. Would you support a tryout by myself, QT Vokes, and T-Rex to do a stand-up routine at intermission of a blue-collar wrestling show and in the same mode as a Don Morocco Mr. Fuji comedy team?
Oh, that would be wonderful. I would support that 100%.
Oh, okay.
I would pay for a ticket if I wasn't on that show just to see that comedy show.
Oh. Wow, you hear that, Sign Guy? This is very good. Okay, all right. Okay, very good. All right, well, I will try to renew my efforts with T-Rex to get this going. Now dust off my old joke book. That's what I'll do. Yes. Okay.
I know T-Rex has a million of them because he keeps me laughing all night backstage.
Oh, he does. I didn't know that. Okay, what would you say is your favorite T-Rex joke that he's ever told you?
Oh, man. It's not the jokes. I love his impersonations.
Oh, impersonations. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Wow. Well, I guess I'll have to kind of polish up my impersonations there. Impersonations. Yep. Okay. All right. Well, Aries, several weeks ago, actually, I think about 2 months ago, we had on MMA fighter Dan the Beast Severin, and we ascertained, or I did some research, and found out that Dan the Beast Severin is a graduate of Arizona State University. He is an original Sunkist kid. He was an All-American wrestler at Arizona State University and an Olympic alternative for the wrestling team. He often travels back to Arizona State to give lectures on self-defense training and he gives lectures and demonstrations to police officers on the Arizona State campus. I was stunned to find out that Dan the Beast Severn, having been one of their most extinguished alumni, does not get free bowl of soups from the campus cafeteria. Will you yourself lend your efforts to get Dan the Beast Severn soup privileges at Arizona State University?
Absolutely. That is a travesty. That man should get free soup everywhere he goes. At any college.
Oh, well, okay, I guess.
Next time I'm in Arizona, I am going to make a detour to that college and get a position started.
Oh, this is huge. This is up there with a T-Rex QT Vokes comedy routine partnership. Okay. All right. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, Aries, you went through a typical breakfast with QT, but one of the main things that keeps wrestlers in shape, of course, is the training and exercise regimen. Can you go through what a typical week of training and exercise is like for yourself?
For myself, a typical week, Monday through Friday, right before work, I wake up at 4 a.m. and I start my day with a run. And then I come back and eat breakfast. And if I have time, I get a little list in before I go to work. And my day job is a very physical job, so I get quite a bit of exercise through that. And every night, I spend at least an hour lifting. And then Mondays and Tuesdays, I am in the ring training at Blue Collar, and it's 3 hours a night, so that's 6 hours a week that I'm spending training in the ring as well, which I think is definitely giving me a leg up in the competition. I would have killed for the opportunity to have 6 hours in the ring a week, especially back in the Midwest, but. And I think a lot of the younger guys need to take more advantage of that. And it's a great opportunity that not a lot of people seem willing to participate in. Especially in this business, you pick up bad habits over time, and you get complacent. And it's good to go back to the basics, and it's good to tune your game up. But all my training is geared towards wrestling. The way I lift, the way I run, the way that I train in the ring, everything is geared towards getting my body ready for Saturday and Sunday and being in that ring.
Now, you've probably worked out with quite a few people that are in the business over the course of your career. What's some of the freakiest lifting experiences you've ever seen from other wrestlers?
I watched a guy named Keith Venom use a wrestler named Bobby V and used him to do one-arm curls in the locker room. Seeing a man pick up another man and curl him with one arm was intense, to say the least.
That sounds a little bit intense. One of the downfalls in wrestling, of course, is the injuries. Everybody that's spent any amount of time in the ring has had an injury of some sort to some degree. What are a few of the injuries you've had to overcome in the course of your career?
I've had my fair share of injuries, definitely, just like every other wrestler. I actually fractured my neck when I first started wrestling. I was probably in 2004. I fractured one vertebrae and compressed another one, and that put me on the shelf. That was the major injury. It's still a nagging injury to this day, but thankfully it didn't have any, you know, lasting repercussions. But I've had knee problems. I've had, you know, broken fingers. I broke my XC joint, I believe they call it. It connects your collarbone and your shoulder. I pretty much just shattered that one. Broke my collarbone once, broke my sternum once, had, you know, half a dozen fractured ribs. But it's the cost of playing the game. And especially having a high-flying, high-risk style like I do, price you pay.
Very true. Now, one of the often overlooked aspects of wrestling is the role of a referee. They can really help a match out if they're any good, and they can sink a match really fast if they're terrible. You've been to a lot of different places for a lot of different companies, so I'm sure you've seen quite a few referees in your day. Who are some of the better ones out there that should get utilized by more promoters?
Well, for me personally, one of the favorite referees that I've ever been in the ring with was Eric Leib. He's based out of Oshkosh, Wisconsin. He was a fantastic referee. He's been kind of one of those guys, been everywhere, done everything. You know, been tryouts with WWE, and he was a wonderful ref. He really knew his craft. You, obviously, Sign Guy, you are, I would definitely say you're the top referee in the Pacific Northwest that I've been in the ring with. There's a young guy named Dylan that's coming up in blue-collar wrestling, and he's done a wonderful job. I'm not a big fan of being in the ring with him because he towers over me and makes me look so small, but I'll deal with that to have a good referee in my match.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't know if I go that far, but I appreciate the confidence. Now, we talked a little bit earlier about Buddy Highway and his weightlifting prowess that he's really dominating right now as he ventures into that realm. Do you see a time when during 2017 Buddy Highway is going to hit the 550-pound squat mark?
Oh, not a doubt in my mind. I mean, the guy he's dedicated. And anybody that's friends with him on Facebook can tell you that's become the staple of his life. And it's great. I mean, it's great to be motivated and have that kind of dedication to anything. And he has it for two different aspects of his life, with wrestling and with weightlifting. He puts more time and effort into that than most people ever do in anything in their whole lives. And as long as he keeps sticking with it, I have no doubt in my mind that he'll pass that 550 mark.
Now, Buddy just recently was in a triple threat match with Petroff and Jeff Cobb.
Yes.
Jeff Cobb manhandled Buddy Highway like nobody I've seen before in the many years I've known Buddy Highway. You've been on a few shows with Jeff Cobb. Where do you put him as far as strongest wrestler you've come across in a locker room?
Jeff Cobb is a tank in every sense of the word, but it's not just his physical strength that makes him so formidable. He not only has the power, but he knows the technique and he knows how to use it. Jeff Cobb's an Olympic wrestler. He knows how to position his body and how to use leverage and how to use momentum. You don't win an Olympic medal without having that kind of skill set. So it's not just his power, but he's not one of those just raw power, I'm going to clothesline you 100 times in a match kind of wrestlers. He is strong, and he knows how to use his strength, and he knows how to use his body to make you do what he wants you to do. And once he gets a hold of you, there's not a whole lot of say you have about it.
Now, just recently, I got in a little bit of trouble with the National Wrestling Association here, the Alliance, and I got a little caught up in a match when Tommy Celsius was trying to leave the ring and cheat the people out of the match they had paid to see. I threatened to suspend his public library card. It caused some controversy. What's the most controversial call that you have seen a referee make?
Most controversial call. That's definitely in the top three. I mean, the library card, that's some serious business. Tommy Salty takes his library card very serious.
He did return to the ring, though, because he loves to read.
He does. That's one of his passions. I think the most controversial call I've ever seen made was a roasted chicken on a pole match. And the wrestler A got the chicken off the pole, but the referee missed it. And when the chicken was on the ring apron, wrestler B grabbed it. Referee turned around and saw wrestler B with it. And he awarded the roasted chicken to wrestler B. That was controversial. That chicken clearly belonged to wrestler A. That's a true story, by the way.
Once the chicken hits the mat, does anyone want to eat said chicken?
The wrestler B did win the chicken, and he got to enjoy that delicious roasted chicken in the locker room later that night.
Wasn't afraid of any type of infection that might have been crawling around on the mat.
I would have been, but I think he was just caught up in the moment. I mean, that was an emotional win. That was roasted chicken that he just won. And regardless of the circumstance, I mean, to the victor goes the spoils. And he wasn't about to give up that chicken.
That's dedication to your hunger right there. Now, I know in your career you have wrestled, like we said, for a fair number of promotions all across the country. To date, what's been the largest crowd that you've performed for?
Oh, I don't know exact numbers, but it was close to 2,000. And that was an amazing show at a great venue. I'd say the largest recently that I've been a part of, that is a great question, actually. I know the largest I've ever been a part of was probably about 5 years ago. And that was at a venue in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. And that was a great crowd, large crowd, extremely vocal crowd. And we had the honor to do a tag team ladder match in front of them. And that was in front of, I want to say, about 1,200 people.
Now, just for you personally, when there's a crowd that numbers into the thousands or even the several hundreds, do you change what you do in the ring if there's that many people as opposed to, say, just a few dozen people as far as the little things, or do you do the match as if it's always a more intimate setting where the fans are right on top of you? What do you do crowd-wise to make sure everyone gets the money's worth?
To me, I always like to project as big as I can. And I always like to make everybody, whether if there's three rows or 30 rows, I'm playing to the guy in the back row. As far as in front of a larger crowd doing things differently, not necessarily consciously, but subconsciously, when you're in front of that many people, it gives you another gear that you didn't even know you had. So I'm sure there are things that I do differently, things that I wouldn't normally do, but I'm not making a conscious effort to change how I wrestle or how I perform. You know, I'm giving 100% regardless if there's 50 people or 500 people or 5,000 people. But when you're in the 5,000, you find something else in yourself that you might not even be aware of. And just that extra energy that you're feeding off of, you're going to do some crazy things that you didn't realize, you know, that you might not even plan to do. I know that was the case when we had that ladder match in Oshkosh. But by the time the match was over, I had broken half the blood vessels in my back. The whole left of my back was purple. I didn't go into that match planning to do that, but I sure felt it for the next couple weeks.
Well, we're down to just a few minutes left in the show today, so I want to give that time to you so you have ample time to plug and promote anything and everything you want, social medias, upcoming shows, merchandise, your favorite dry cleaner, anything in the world you'd like. The floor is all yours.
I appreciate it. So you can definitely catch me this Sunday this Sunday, December 18th, at NWA Blue Collar Wrestling, just like every Sunday, North Portland Eagles Lodge, 7611 North Exeter Avenue. Also, we have January 14th. I'll be at the Milwaukee Elks Lodge for NWWA Rising Star. That is at 13121 Southeast McLaughlin Boulevard, both in Portland. And I would like to give a shout-out to my tag team partner, Kane Jaden. You can find him at Kane Jaden on Twitter and also at Kane Jaden on Facebook. We have the Role Models, which you can find on Facebook at Role Models Worship Us and on Twitter at Kane and Aries. That's K-A-I-N-E and A-R-E-S. Kane and Aries. That's where you can find your NWA Pacific Northwest Tag Team Champions and your NWWA Tag Team Champions. We also have merch for sale on our Facebook page. Direct message us if you need sizes that we don't have available. And you can also find me on Facebook at Aries Toretto or contact me through the Role Models Worship Us Facebook page.
Well, Aries Toretto, it has been an absolute delight having you on the show. I appreciate it greatly. And I will be seeing you in a couple of weeks. Bump safe in there on Sunday. And I look forward to sharing a locker room with you when I get back down to Portland.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on the show, fellas.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, fans, if you have not gotten familiar with Aries Toretto and or his partner, Kane Jaden, definitely remedy that. Go to the YouTubes, search his videos, go to the Facebook, follow him there, but not literally, and get familiar with Aries. He's a great, great talent, and we will be back with you on Sunday when we continue Pacific Northwest Month on Turnbuckle Turmoil with second-generation star Dominic Hess. So definitely join us for that. Should be outstanding. And we will be back with you on Sunday afternoon. Johnny just walked through the door. Like